This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. How you doing?
Well, I'm okay now that I'm inside. It's, what, 164 outside in the parking lot, but, you know, under here it's only, what, 120.
No, it says we're at 88.
If you believe that computer thing, yeah, you are delusional.
I Googled it. It can't be
wrong.
Yeah,
you Googled it. Yeah, well, it lost its Google.
If it ever had any. Huh?
Yeah, it probably never even had a Google. I don't have a Google. Anyway, thank you for listening. This is the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. Ha ha.
I was going to ask you. Yeah. I don't mean to interrupt. Did we fix the intro to your show? I wasn't listening.
I just talked to the boss out there, and he laughed at me and walked away.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I hope he did. I'm no longer Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. I'm private citizen retired Mike Winters now.
Still the Commissioner of Dirt,
well,
apparently.
Well, I'm always going to be the dirty commissioner, but you know, what the heck. But this is a call-in show. This is a show of what you can do with your lawn, your garden, your landscaping, hints and things like that might help you. And this is also a show that you can call in if you have a gardening question at 673-4464. And all calls are welcome, and I'll give you straight scoop all the way through. 673-4464. And I ran across an article the other day that was about edible flowers. Now, I think a week or so ago, I talked about an edible a garden-type landscape that you just, your shrubs and things were vegetables, and where you could have nice vegetable plants, and that would be your landscaping, and it would be edible, and everybody on your street would think, what in the world is that person doing?
I don't know. Yeah.
Growing cantaloupes in the front yard. But at any rate,
Could be worse.
It could be. You could, yeah. But this article I was reading, it talked about edible flowers. And I never thought, well, who wants to eat a flower? But apparently you can and still survive. You'd have to eat an awful lot of them to get full, of course. And I just wanted to pass on some of this information. and I thought, well, adding some flowers to the mix wouldn't hurt. So. Oh, and I've never eaten a rose, but I can think of. But apparently, dried rose petals are often used in sweets when you're making, you know, homemade whatever, candy or brownies or cakes or muffins or donuts or whatever. Sometimes people sprinkle rose petals on the things that you're baking or cooking. And it gives it a different taste. I don't know. I personally haven't tried that myself. And you just got to be careful that you don't bite on a thorn. They hurt. But and in some cultures, this article said that roses are put on roasted chicken for flavoring. And I don't know, again, what type of flavoring they're talking about, and I sure haven't seen any rose petals on Kentucky Fried Chicken lately, so they haven't adopted that particular recipe. But I'm sure there is a recipe book out there that has a lot of info on cooking with roses. And so if you want to try something different tonight, pancakes and eggs with rose petals on it, go for it. I don't know that it would be a real delight, but who knows? And make sure that whoever's eating it has a blindfold on and can't see them, and they probably wouldn't even know. At any rate, pansy flowers, when picked, pansies, everybody knows what a pansy is, they smell a little bit like honey and can be used in baking cookies, for instance. But I only eat chocolate chip cookies, so I don't want any pansies mixed in with my chocolate chip cookies. But you can mix them in with different cookies or cakes or breads or whatever. And I don't know. This is probably not everybody's cup of tea, but it was interesting to read about. And if you want some homegrown tea from your yard, grow some chamomile. It's a plant, and the flowers have white petals with a yellow center. And besides a great tea, and these actually make a great tea, you can blend the flowers into apricot jam or granola. Okay. And these are people that actually, you know, do these things, and they write these articles. So, and dahlias, besides having great flowers, they have large green leaves that can be used in a salad rather than lettuce. And apparently, the large green leaves on the dahlias taste, you know, fairly good. I guess they're not as crunchy as lettuce. It depends on the type of lettuce you usually use, but dahlia leaves are edible. Nasturtiums are easy to grow, and they have bright yellow flowers, and the flower petals are a bit spicy and can be used on tacos or salads or even pizza. And I thought, I guess you just dry them out, grind them up, and put them on your taco, or maybe you just don't even dry them up. But I can see where they might be an addition to a salad or a pizza. So your garden can be colorful and edible at the same time. And I'm sure everybody's running out right now to get some more flowers so they can add it to their salad. And I'm sure that there are many flower types that are safe to eat. But do your research first. Make sure that you get on your computer or whatever and say, hey, Mr. Computer, what flowers are edible, or what can I add to my pizza or my taco or whatever. But these few flower varieties I've listed are perennials, and if you cut them or take the blooms, etc., they'll just come back larger and better and thicker year after year. And they give a good spot of color in your yard when you're not picking the flowers for your dinner. And they are very tough, very, very tough, hardy plants, and they don't require any special care once they're established. And by special care, I mean they don't have to be fertilized once a month or watered every other day or something like that. They're pretty much self-sufficient once established, and that's a good sign. You don't want to have to mess with them all the time. And if you don't have a yard, you can plant these flowers in planters, you know, just one of those round tubs. There's many of them on the market. You can use a wood planter that's decorative, or just a plain old plastic planter that large trees come in or something like that. And then fill it up with good soil and put your veggies in there and let them go. And you put them in a sunny location, and that's all that's necessary. And in pots, your plants will need a little bit more care with water and fertilizer. Not a lot, just a little bit more, because if they're in sun, which they should be, the sun not only is heating the plant itself, but it's also heating the pot, especially if it's a dark colored pot, like black or brown. Something like that, you get extra heat in there. So you want to feel the soil, every few days. Just make sure that it's damp, and as long as it's damp, it's good to go. But make sure that you don't miss a week, or your garden will melt away. So that's and fertilizing anything in a pot, you have to be real conservative. I know that's a bad word for a lot of people, but you have to be conservative on your fertilizer, because you don't want to grow these things to death. And too much fertilizer will turn them into toast and brown real quickly. And of course, you don't want to overwater, you don't want to over-fertilize, and you're going to have a good deal. Your best bet for container growing is bigger. The bigger the pot is, the better it is, because it heats up less, and like a half wine barrel will last you about 10 years at least. And you can plant multiple vegetable plants and flowers in the same tub. And for instance, you could have like three tomato plants and three flowers in one tub. You know, there's plenty of room. And flowers planted with vegetables will also attract pollinizers for a great crop of veggies. So cool. That's what it's all about. You want to get the native bumblebees or honeybees, if you come across any, and get them in there to fertilize your plants.
Speaking of which,
yes,
I was traveling up north the other day.
That's good.
And I had noticed on my other travels up there that there is this big purple field. I didn't know what. Now, you mentioned the other day that they plant lavender.
Yeah.
To fertilize.
Yeah.
I mean to pollinate, attract the bees.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now I know what that was for, because there was, you know, other.
Yeah, surrounding it. And they had a lavender, Lavender Day out here in Lower Garden Valley that my wife went to last week, and I was going to talk a little bit about that, too.
Oh, okay.
And there was actually, she said it was like a circus out there. It was out in Lower Garden Valley.
Yeah.
She parked a half a mile away because of all the cars. And walked a half a mile to the lavender farm.
Oh, wow.
And it was one of those warm days.
Oh, of course, of course.
She wasn't real happy about the walk, but she did it. She's tough.
And she's a trooper.
Yeah, she's a trooper. At any rate, there was a 65 booths there.
Good heavens.
That they were selling all kinds of other things, too, not just fruits, vegetables, and lavender, but there were pots and planters and sodas, and I mean it was it looked like the Douglas County Fair, for crying out loud. I'm surprised there was those circus acts, for goodness sake. So
a Ferris wheel.
Yeah. But getting back to the plants in the pot and the pots and things like that, if you are a beginner, don't overdo your project. Start small. Think about it. Look at it. Don't think more's better because it ain't. If you've never done it before and you put too much in and you got too much to take care of, and you're always hassling here and doing this and forgetting stuff or doing that, and after a while it gets to be a pain in the neck. Okay, and then you might say, I ain't doing this stuff anymore. This is crazy.
You don't want to do that though.
No.
Keep active.
Keep active, but keep it small.
Yeah.
Learn what you're doing. Learn how the plants grow. Learn how you get the best results from whatever you put in your pots. And then, the following year, you can increase it a little bit. And maybe the following year after that, you can increase it a little bit more. But when you do that in pots, there's less labor. There's less weeds. You'll have a few weeds in the pots, but it's not a half an acre of them spread all over kingdom come that you got to get in there and fix. So you just keep on top of it. It's easy. Yeah. And do we have a break coming
up? Yeah, we can take one here if you'd like. All right, here we go.
I'll be back. If you got a call, 673-4464.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back, and please call back. I hit the wrong button, Mike.
Yeah, well, my engineer here is not button smart, so
no.
Please call again, 673-4464. We'll get you right on. I'll make sure he hits the right button.
I didn't hang up on him. I just...
There's only 100 buttons in front of him, so he probably... just lost track for a minute.
I guess you can say operator error.
Yeah, operator error. That's a good one. Yeah. So, like I said in the last segment, we were talking about gardens in pots. If you're a beginner, don't overdo it. Don't go crazy and get 100 pots out there and start, planting them, everything. Because it will work you to death, and after a while you'll get sick and tired of it and say, I'm never going to do this stupid thing again, So just a couple, three pots, just if you're a beginner. If you're an advanced gardener and you've done it for 30 years, well, you know better than me what you can do and how you can do it. So this is for the rookies that are just starting out, okay? So you start small, you keep it manageable. Maybe only two or three containers and see how much you can grow without a lot of time, effort, and expense. And So if you plant like a zucchini in one pot, you'll have more zucchinis than you can eat.
Only one zucchini.
One zucchini, that's all you need. I've been eating zucchini for 3 weeks now.
Oh, have you?
Oh, yeah.
Did you do it again?
No, my wife did.
Yeah.
But, you know, she fries them up in butter and adds some onions to it, chopped onions. Pretty tasty, actually.
Oh, yeah?
And you can put some Parmesan cheese on it, and voila, it's like being in Little Italy.
Mm-hmm.
But she's half Italian, so she knows how to do
that. There you go.
Stuff.
Have you ever made a pizza out of those things?
A what?
Pizza.
No.
That doesn't sound appetizing.
No, it doesn't. So I don't even want to talk about
that. Anchovies.
Anchovies. Yeah, anchovies. My dad used to eat anchovies. When I was a little kid, I tried them once.
Nitty gritty, yuck.
Once.
Yeah.
So anyway, you're starting small with your container plots and your plants and all that. And like I say, you're doing it without a lot of time invested, with not a whole lot of effort or expense. So, and once you see what you can grow in these pots, you can add another pot or two and grow some different veggies. You can add a trellis in a pot and grow string beans, for crying out loud. My wife's done it. They work really well. You get a big enough pot, put a trellis in there, and the string beans just march right up there and are in the air, and you got fresh string beans before you know it. Lots of them. You can do it with squash. You can do it with grapes. A big pot for a grape.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, grow what you want, and grow what you want, and grow what you'll eat. Don't get some exotic thing like, I don't know, there's a lot of exotics. Let's see, what's your unfavorite vegetable?
Zucchini?
Well, it depends on how it's prepared.
Yeah.
You doll it up with, like I say, cheese or onions or something like that, and garlic salt. They're not bad, man. You think you're eating, salmon.
I pretty much like all veggies except that, I think.
Well, I've had to learn how to eat zucchinis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my mother never would cook a zucchini. My mother probably never bought a zucchini in her life. And I was happy for that. I didn't know what they were until I got married.
And then you went, what?
What in the world are you trying to feed me? Is that a cucumber? No, it's a zucchini. But growing your own food can be fun, and you can do it with little waste and much learning. And like I say, it's satisfaction guaranteed. And what you don't grow, you go to Cruz Farms and buy, or you go out to Winston. Brosai and buy. And I stopped in a Brosai, a week and a half ago, wanted to see if they had anything yet.
Mm-hmm.
And as I turned into their parking lot, there must have been 10 to 15 cars in there parked every which way. The place was jamming. I'm thinking, whoa, they had nothing ready. Well, he had certain things that were ready. Yeah.
Does he still have cherries?
Yeah, that's what they were all doing.
Oh, okay.
Because a lot of them were pickers, and they had big flats, and they were cashing, mm-hmm. bringing them to the register. And cherries coming out of your eyeballs.
Oh, man. My daughter bought some of those cherries. And,
they're good. My wife bought a big bag of them. We're still eating them.
And strawberries.
Yeah, strawberries.
Those strawberries are good. She made jam out of them.
Oh,
that's so much better than the store-bought stuff.
Oh, yeah. And you mix it with some vanilla ice cream is good.
Yeah. You betcha.
But I've seen some of these container gardens with like 10 pots or more containers, and they're filled with some small growing vegetables that give a large quantity, like of tomatoes or peppers or strawberries and even a zucchini, with just one zucchini per pot, though. They'll grow. You're amazed how they'll grow.
Yeah.
But I tried it in corn. Doesn't work. Corn doesn't like a pot to grow in. I guess you could put one. I had five plants in a pot or something like that. Just to experiment, just see how they're going to grow.
Right.
And not so hot, man.
They didn't like it.
No, they didn't like it. They like to be in the ground. They like room. But like I say, container gardening is less labor intensive because, there's not many weeds to pull if it's just in a container and you can keep on top of it all the time. And watering is quick and it takes less water, so your water bill isn't, atrocious or anything like that. So, and even if you live in a condo or an apartment, you can you have the ability to grow some fresh veggies on your front porch or your back deck, or, you know, every condo seems to have a little bit of room that you can stretch out in. And as long as it's getting sunshine for a good time during the day, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours, something like that.
You're in business.
Hey, they're good to go.
Yeah.
And then, of course, in a pot, garden prep is a whole lot easier. You don't need a rototiller. You don't even need a shovel, for crying out loud, if you put the right soil in to begin with. And that would be a potting soil mixed with maybe some sand and some topsoil and maybe some fine grind bark. Mix it up, just mix it up with a little trowel, something like that.
Yeah.
And you've got perfect ground. And those small plants that you buy or seeds that you plant are going to come up. They've got plenty of space for the roots to get out quickly, and bingo, before you know it, you're going, wow, where did these plants come from? I just planted them last week and I'm already getting tomatoes, or I'm already getting this. And you know, it's good.
Put a sign, neighbors, stay out.
Yeah, neighbors, touch them, they're poison. These are poison tomatoes. Help yourself. No, don't do that. Oh gosh, but like I say, even if you live in a condo, apartment, or if you have a very small yard and you can't fit a garden in, yeah, that's what the pots are all about. That's it's just a. And like I say, garden prep in a pot is a whole lot easier every spring. And if you start slow with just a few pots, you can get a handle on it, and you can accomplish a whole bunch in no time.
Nice.
Now, last week there was a lavender garden open house. That's what it was.
Okay.
Out in lower...
Lower Garden Valley.
Out past River Forks. Oh gosh, a half a mile or so. There's a curve, and then there's a left hand lane. I can't remember the name of the lane, but there's a whole bunch of folks down there to grow lavender. Yeah. So they had this great big lavender festival. So my wife goes there, and they give you tours through the lavender garden, and it's absolutely beautiful. I mean, it's a really tough blooming plant, full sun. Nothing seems to hurt it. And pollinators are attracted to it. And if you put a few of those in your garden, you just kind of space them around, you're going to attract bees. You're going to attract other pollinators that will help your vegetable plantation produce a lot of vegetables. At any rate, she went through there and said there were booths. A lot of entrepreneurs were out there, and they had little 10 by 10 booths, and they were selling ice cream and donuts and gadgets and little things. And
what do you know about that?
I had no idea it was that big. Yeah. But there was 65 booths out there.
Wow.
Yeah. And like I said, she had to park a half a mile away and walk to it because there was so many people and so many cars there.
It was probably a hot day.
And it was. Yeah.
Oh, great.
It wasn't 99, but it was hot and it was warm. And she doesn't take the heat real well, especially walking a half a mile. But they do it every year out there, and it's quite a show. And you can get ideas on what a mature lavender looks like, how to take care of it. There's a lot of people that allow, you know, give you the answers to your questions. You can buy plants. They had tiny plants they sold, but it's quite quite an operation. And there are 5,000. Lavender plants growing in one field.
Whoa.
Right now. And with another 2,100 small plants ready to be planted. So it's no small scale operation.
No.
Yeah. And so they harvest a lot of, they have lavender oil and all that kind of stuff. And I guess there are some seminars or some classes that will show you how to get the oil out, or what to do with the plant.
I didn't realize lavender was so useful.
Oh, yeah. And cooking, too. I mean, it's amazing. It's I've never put lavender on my fried potatoes, but who knows?
Yeah, I was thinking about that, cooking them in French fries.
There you go, French fries. Our new French fries with lavender oil. Yes, there. It's going to.
Smells and tastes great.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And. And it's medicinal as well, so it's a good product. Lavender plants are like I say, not only beautiful, but very, very hardy. Very hardy. Mm. And they bloom a long time, easy to grow, and they make a great accent plant for your yard, or you could have a small hedge of them. You know, they're colorful. And not, they don't grow so fast and wild that you're out there with a hedge pruner pruning them every year or anything like that. They're, mm-hmm. And some people like them, you know, shaped up, and some people like them natural. I would prefer them natural. But people use lavender in many ways, and they use it for relaxation because apparently it has whatever in it to kind of just relax you. I don't know. I don't think it's a drug or anything, but it's a natural.
Well, the government would have banned it by now.
Or they would have taxed it, one of the two. Yeah. But people use it for relaxation, for anxiety, for headaches, and to help you sleep.
Nice. That's what I need.
Yeah, and it's all organic. It's not one of these store-bought things that, you know, might have 20 other ingredients in it that you don't want to have in your body.
Right.
I mean, you've got a lavender plant. Hey, you've got your own medical dispensary out in your backyard. It's good. And it also makes a great tea, lavender tea. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I haven't tasted it, but my wife says that it does, so it must be true. And
yeah, never go against the opinion of your wife.
Never, ever. And it can be, you can make it into a syrup. You can add it to bread, baking bread. It can make jelly. And it says, I was reading that it says that you can add it to sausage. And I thought, how do you add it to sausage? But there was no explanation.
Use it as a syrup, I guess. Yeah, who knows?
Maybe. And then they make a facial and a skin scrub, you know, for, you know, if you got rough hands or whatever, skin rash or something like that, clears it right up.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. I mean, that was all news to me, so I kept quizzing my wife. What else is it doing?
What else? You know? More than likely, if I give me a rash, I don't.
It probably would, you.
Yeah.
Put it in your hair, all your hair will fall out, so. But all in all, it's a good plant, it's beautiful, and it's easy to grow, and it's just a lot of pluses. And most of these lavender farms are located, like I say, out in Lower Garden Valley, out, you know, go towards River Forks and past the River Forks entry and down the road another, mile, half a mile, three quarters of a mile. And there's a group of little farms down there.
Help me, darn.
And you can't miss them because they're in bloom right now.
I never knew those existed.
Well, you ought to get out and around sometime.
I know.
You just can't come here to work.
That's it. I got a straight trail from work and home.
And these little farms are always open, it seems, to people who stop in, because most of the folks that farm these areas, they have their home there as well.
Sure.
So, in fact, I was called to give a landscape consultation to a lady on this particular road about a month ago, and they've been in the lavender business for years and years and years. I got acres of it. And so she was telling me a lot about this, and I was giving her a landscape consultation about how to redo some parts of her yard and that kind of thing. And you know, just, and then she had lots of lavender planted in her yard, and her husband, you know, I think he's the one that's got the 5,000 plants in the field.
Oh, mama,
5,000 plants! What are you going to do with them all? They're probably going to manufacture oil or something from them.
Harvest them in some way.
Yeah. I mean, you don't grow 5,000 plants just to look at them.
So, I wouldn't think.
No, I mean they're good to look at, but you wouldn't do that. But like I say, they're located out in Lower Garden Valley, and they're open to folks stopping in just about any time, especially in the summer. I wouldn't do it in the middle of January or December, but old Douglas County, you know, when you drive around Douglas County, we have a very diverse agricultural community.
Mm-hmm.
There's hundreds of acres of vineyards, I mean, everywhere. There's one out there, you know where the Brockway store is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
There's some folks out of California that bought just right up the road from that on the opposite side of 42 there. They bought several hundred acres, and it's all in grapes. It's all in.
No, is there? Wow.
I mean, there's so many grapes. I'm thinking, where are they going to get the people to pick all the grapes that this place produces, for crying out loud? I mean, there's hundreds of acres. It's right there to see, and they go up the slopes and everything. And it's not flat ground. None of it's flat. It's kind of rolling and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. And it's been in, I don't know, 7-8 years, something like that, maybe 10 years. I'm not sure. I've lost track. But I go by it every day, twice a day. And and like I say, it's an outfit out of California that came up here to take advantage of our climate. And we have a great climate for agricultural products.
Yes, we do. And we got a break.
We got a break. I'll be back.
With more. Phone number.
Oh, 673-4464. Please call. It's okay. I can answer any question you got.
438 on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, imagine that. We're back, Mike.
We are back, and I'm talking about gardens and lavenders and all kinds of stuff. But the thing that impresses me is that, you know, Douglas County has a very diverse agricultural community. I mean, we can grow anything here in Douglas County, and it seems to grow well. And there are
legal and illegal.
Legal and illegal, but that's legal. The illegals are now legal.
Oh, that's true.
You know, and they got stores all around.
Yeah.
Come on in, buy ours. Well, okay. there are hundreds of acres of vineyards in this county. I mean, just amazing where you can go out on some of these secondary roads and all of a sudden there's a vineyard and it might be 10 acres, it might be 5 acres, or it might be 150 acres, for crying out loud. And there are fruit and vegetable stands, nurseries, orchards, and just if you're new to the area and you really want to see what's cooking around here, you just jump on some road out in Garden Valley and take a cruise and look and see. It's really, truly amazing, especially in the vineyards. You know, most of the vineyards you can also stop and visit, and they have a wine tasting room, and they have their bottles of wine for sale, and they can give you a tour, whatever you want. They're very hospitable.
Yeah, they are. Kyle knows them all.
Oh, yeah, Kyle. He walks to them.
Yeah.
But you can also, you know, explore what's out there for fresh fruits and vegetables. And the wine industry here has grown to a major industry, in my opinion. And our climate seems to be perfect for grapes. And I remember when Hillcrest was the only winery back in the 1960s.
Yep.
Way back. And out there practically at the base of the Callahans, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
It's way out there. And you had to really, you know, want some wine and wanted to see a vineyard before you could
do it.
Do it, yeah. But it was, and now we have, I counted just the ones in the yellow pages, we have 27 wineries in our Roseburg area.
And growing.
And growing, yes, yeah. Oh. And like I was saying earlier, I don't know if I was on the air or not, but the one out there across, as you go on Highway 42 toward the coast, you go by the Brockway store, quarter of a mile, and there's a huge vineyard that starts there, and it's several hundred acres of grapes.
You are wondering where they get their workers.
Exactly. You know, when the grapes are ready, you got to pick them, baby. You got to be there, or they're no good in a week.
No. No ifs, ands, or buts.
But they must have connections to, you know, California or whatever. But and there's a lot of vineyards that have machines too.
That's true.
That pick them nowadays. Yep. But I'm still looking. I saw pickers last year there, so they must have some in somewhere to get
you
labor.
You haven't noticed any this year yet?
Pardon?
You haven't noticed any work?
Oh, no, they're not ready. The grapes aren't ready. They'd probably be another month or two, you know, it depends on the variety of the grapes. I'm not a big, you know, they're either green or purple to me. I don't, and some of them are red, but.
Do they like the hot weather?
Love it.
Do they?
No, and this is a perfect climate for them. Absolutely. Yep. I mean, they grow.
They're going to love this weekend.
Well, don't. Okay. But, you know, and this leads me to another piece of agricultural news here in Oregon. Do you know what Oregon's state vegetable is? And it's not grapes.
No.
It's potatoes.
You got to be kidding me.
No, sir. I'm not kidding you.
Idaho is jealous.
I don't know. But it is the state vegetable.
Huh. I'll potatoes. Be darned.
Oregon produces 7% of the nation's potatoes and 21% of the nation's onion crop. Yeah.
I would never have thunk.
No, me neither. That surprised me. Potatoes outproduce all other vegetable crops in the state with about 2.6 billion pounds. That's billion with a B. 2.6 billion pounds of potatoes harvested every year from 44,000 acres of potatoes plantations.
I wonder where they all go.
I don't know. Across the nation. But onions generate about 1 billion pounds per year.
That's a lot.
Billion pounds of onions.
That's a lot of Vidalias.
Yeah, and 2.6 billion pounds of potatoes. My gosh.
Whoa.
I don't know.
Potato salad.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But, you know, anyway, that's a lot of French fries and onion rings, so, good. It's good to go. And both of these vegetables are easy to grow. I've grown both, and when I was, like, 15, I planted my own garden, not my parents making me or anything like that. I wanted to plant a potato garden, so I planted a row of potatoes just to see if I could and see what would happen.
I did that too, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, I planted about 10 hills. I was 15, so I'm maybe 10, maybe 15 hills, and I planted the potatoes right in the hills. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, we'll see. And I watered them a little bit. I wasn't real fanatical about it at that time, but I did. And all of them grew, and all of them produced potatoes. And my mom was surprised by all the potatoes I harvested, and I think we had about a year's supply. Easy, a year's supply.
Nice.
We had hash browns, we had baked, bashed, boiled, and my favorite French fries.
Yes.
I love them French fries.
Fresh, nothing like fresh either.
Fresh out of the ground. Fresh French fries. How's that?
Yeah, there you go.
While my mom was pleased by my work ethic, she asked me not to grow anymore for a couple years.
They're good, but yeah, no more.
We got enough potatoes, son. You don't have to do that. But I have slimmed down on my potato growing in our home garden now. Well, actually, my wife planted most of the garden this year. In fact, all of it, I think.
Did she? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think she planted maybe somewhere between 5 and 7 hills of potatoes. So, and then that's a lot of potatoes. Especially, when they're well-fed and watered and growing and you'd be amazed. And they don't get huge. They're not like an Idaho potato. Mm. Now, Idaho is famous for their large potatoes. And I'm sure there's potato growers in Oregon that are
do the same.
Yeah. But the Idaho potatoes are the big ones, you know. And that's what they say. But anyway, growing things has always been a part of my life, starting with my first apple tree. And I've told this story before. When I was 6, I got an old soup can and filled it with dirt out of the backyard. I didn't know anything about soil. I just knew dirt.
And, Dirt.
And so I ate an apple and I put the seeds in the dirt and put it on my windowsill. And, then my mom came in and said, "What do you got in that can full of dirt?" And I said, "Well, I'm growing an apple tree." She said, "Ain't no apple tree going to grow in there. You know, let it go.
Yeah.
Well, within, I don't know, a month, I can't remember. I was like 6, 7 years old. And I had a little, maybe it was a weed, but I had a little something that was about 3 inches tall come out of that dirt.
Did you show your mom?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, and she said, that's a weed. I said, no, it's my apple tree.
That's what it's going to be.
Yeah, that's what it is. So leave me alone. See, there's an apple already on it.
Yeah.
Not. But, you know, it's fun. So I started, like I say, very early. I don't know why. I just had that. Must be my Lithuanian heritage, because my Lithuanian grandparents and great-grandparents were farmers in Lithuania.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, wheat farmers. They had vast acreages of wheat. And that was back in the days before tractors.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they had them big, long sticks with blades on the front. Yeah, that's how they harvested.
What were those called? Sickles?
Sickles.
Sickles.
Yes,
yeah.
Motorcycles.
Yeah.
No, anti-motorcycles.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. But they, you know, I guess it's an inherited thing, genetic thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Because my dad.
That's your generation somehow there.
I know. And I think, I really believe that schools, public schools, anything, private schools, whatever, should definitely have gardening classes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially as our world gets so weird with all this other kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And teach kids how to grow things.
Yeah.
How do I grow food? What do I got to do to grow food? Because, you know, I know Douglas High School has at least one greenhouse. Maybe they have two greenhouses. And they've got some experiments and things going on in there. And they're growing plants, which is great. But they ought to have a class on edible plants, agriculture, and you know, I'd be glad to teach it, for crying out loud.
There you go.
It'd be fun, and you know, show them what you can do and what you can't, what you can generate.
So there you go, Douglas County.
Yeah, Douglas County. Come on, I'm ready to teach.
What's your phone number?
Mine?
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you.
All right.
You can call the station.
We'll relay the message.
Okay. We'll be back.
And what is our number?
673-4464. I memorized it.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And we're only a few minutes away from our news team for the afternoon report, about 5 minutes at 5 o'clock. We're back right now with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show.
And Garden Show, and I hope you've enjoyed what I've had to say today. I enjoy, you know, writing it up and thinking about it and thinking about all the adventures in gardening that I've had.
Potato, I'm still on that.
Oh, I love them potato grows. I mean, potatoes are the easiest thing in the world to grow. stick one in the ground with, you know, they got the eyes, little white things coming out, you know. You can cut that in three pieces and have three plants and before you know it, you got 50 pounds of potatoes.
I had to cut some eyes off of the potato the other day. Is that I went ahead and ate the potato. I don't know if that's
potato grow out of your ear now.
Yeah.
No, plant it more
the China vine.
Yeah, your China vine. Plant it right there in your China vine. See who wins.
I'm gonna do it.
But you know, my children growing up always had to work in the garden. You know, we got a ranch, and so we grow things. And prior to us growing in raised planters, we just tilled up certain patches of the ground and did it the old-fashioned way. But after a while, you go, you know, if I had a raised planter about 3 feet tall, I wouldn't have to kneel on the ground to go, you know, pick stuff or do this or plant stuff or weed or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so my wife has basically taken over the gardening. I water once in a while. That's about it. But she planted everything this year, and we've already been eating fresh zucchinis.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like I say, but she makes them well. And she put in a few more potatoes, and we've been eating fresh tomatoes.
Yummy.
Yeah. I mean, they're already producing, and this is just the first part of July.
Yeah.
And as long as you treat them right, hey, they grow right. And these raised planters, they're about 3 feet tall, 3 feet deep. and 5 feet wide maybe and 30 feet long. And I got two of them. One's 30 feet, the other's probably 20 feet. And it's amazing how many things you can grow in that area. And you don't have to bend over. You don't have to kneel on the ground and do the weed thing. The weed thing, yeah, we've got weeds in there. But I filled it with all good, loose, composty soil and topsoil and mixed it all together. And, you know, it's just grow stuff, period. It's nonstop. Full bore. But we've taught our children how to garden over the years. So all of my daughters have gardens, and so does my one son up in Portland have a garden. And you know, that's just a natural part of their lives. Now, you know, because they grew up that way.
Sure.
So they know how to feed themselves. They know how to feed their family if, you know, push comes to shove, you go. And sometimes you look at the world and where it's going in the United States, et cetera. Well, you know, is there some minor pushing and shoving? Well, there might be a time where you got to really push and really shove and grow a whole lot of your own food so you don't starve to death, for crying out loud.
And I'm assuming they would pass that along to their friends. And
well, yeah. Well, to their kids at least.
Well, yeah.
Because I know that they make their kids work in the garden. So, like, I made my kids work in the garden.
It's a family tradition.
Yes, it's a family thing. Come on, grow your food. The tomatoes are great, man. So, but I think that would be a good thing to teach in high school.
Sure.
I think that would be a class just on vegetable gardening and the nutritious food that you can produce and how to make a large raised bed or how to till the soil, what to add to the soil, what to plant, how to water. You know, a real curriculum so that and have a hands-on garden at the school.
Right.
and that's part of the class.
You'd be the man to teach it, too.
I'd love to. It'd be a lot of fun.
There you go. Yeah. And on that note,
We're done. Well, thanks for listening. I hope you liked it, and we'll be back next week. And thank you very much.
All right. Have a good week, Mike.
Thank you.
We'll be back in just a moment with the afternoon report right here on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.